Well, I know you want to get something to write with and start to take a look at the back of your bulletin. We're going to begin the message. We're in our series, the same title of our theme, Making a Difference, Making a Difference. And we invite you to jot those notes down because our first life group that begins this week is in about 12:30. It begins this Sunday right there in the fellowship hall, the McCurdy's Life Group for our young adults. And so I know it's going to be a rich, good, healthy interaction of time and fellowship as well. So, Lord, thank you for opening our hearts and opening, Lord, just what you have for us to hear today in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the theme, Making a Difference, the series, Making a Difference, and today's message has Making a Difference, but it's a subtitle, The High Road versus the Low Road. We've been looking at the life of Abraham. He's called Abram at this time. I'm in Genesis chapter 13. That's where we're going to pick up our story. We're learning some things as we kind of focus in on Abraham. And today we're going to look at not only Abraham, but his nephew Lot. Nothing like zeroing in. When you get close to proximities, you start to see, oh, that's a learnable object lesson. Or, man, I can relate to that story. It was mentioned about a wealthy Chinese businessman who came to the United States, and he was fascinated with microscopes, so he bought a microscope. And he took it home, and he was enjoying looking at flower petals and crystals under the power glass. Then he said, as he sat down for dinner, he said, I'm going to look at rice, my favorite food. And he looked at a grain of rice, and he was shocked. He couldn't believe, here's these microorganisms, bugs, crawling around on his rice. He couldn't believe it. He was so shocked what to do with it. So he made a decision. He went outside and he broke the microscope. You know, it's interesting. We could do that as we look at Abraham's life and say, I'm shocked. And we just kind of destroy the process. Or we say, wow, I can relate to that. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for helping me see some things. So let's sum it up just a little bit, what we're dealing, because first point here on our notes, the profile of Abram and Lot, the profile. Let's deal with this element because we recognize that Abram's been asked to leave his country, his relatives, his father's house, and he journeys. It took him a little while. He's dragging his feet. He really is. He takes his dad, takes his nephew, Lot, takes his household. And he stops along the way, then his dad passes away, and he keeps on the journey into Canaan. So we can see here there's just God starts using people with flaws. That's very encouraging. Last time we were together, our second message last Sunday, when tests came up, he failed. Remember that? Famine came in the land, chapter 12, and he decided, I know Egypt has a plentiful just floral and fauna. We're going to go on down there. God didn't ask him to go there, but he went, and that's where he started scheming his way through, and he recognized, I better lie about my wife and say she's my sister. Eventually, things turned a little sour, and he was booted out of Egypt. Now he's back into Canaan, where God says, this is the land I'm giving you. And we're going to pick it up there. Let's look at verse 1 through verse 5. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So it's interesting to note here because a couple of things. First of all, we know a lot about Abram. We've been dealing with this man. We've been looking at his life. We've been discovering some things about him. And one of the things that's worth noting is that Abram was called out. He is a man that has some substance. We recognize here in verse 2, it says Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. Now, it's worth noting that this is the first time that word rich is used in Scripture. And somehow Lot has a lot of stuff too. If you look at verse 5, Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So it sounds like a tent city going on. But we have this thing about, we know about Abram. His wife is barren, Sarai. We recognize that he's been requested by God, let's move into this promised land. And Lot goes with him, his nephew. Lot is the son of his brother, Haran. Haran dies. We picked that up back in chapter 11, verse 27. So somehow Abram must have felt either obligated or Lot viewed him as a father figure. Lot goes with him. Now Lot is going to be one that just kind of tags along. It's worth noting here. Now these guys have substance. There's things that they have. They're wealthy, both of them. And what we want to find out, too, is that money, to have wealth, that's a neutral thing. Just want to throw that out there. That's neither good nor bad. It's really the person that has wealth and what they do with it, that's what happens. And it's not the riches that cause problems. The love of riches, Scripture actually says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it's the love of money, not just money. So sometimes a person's heart can betray them in regards of just what they feel is so important. In other words, a wealthy person could actually be in bondage when they view their wealth as their point of satisfaction or security. A poor person can be in bondage when their lack of wealth or their lack of money is their constant concern and challenge. Both can be in bondage. But when we look here, we have that Abram repents. He's coming back into the land. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Lot, as he's tagging along, we just know that he's following Abram. And I think it's a couple of good patterns that we recognize with Abram as he's just saying, Lord, I'm coming back to where I first started. And he starts right there at Bethel, where he sets up the altar, gets back into worship. That's important. I always love that element. When we think about the word repentance, we think that's only for just unbelievers that, hey, repent, come to God. But that's a healthy thing for Christians. Almost like a daily, when you come before the Lord, is there anything that I need to kind of get my act together on? Lord, just view it. Show me. Because that's a great thing. Matter of fact, Jesus asked a whole church. If you look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 4, remember that? You've left your first love. Repent and do the first works. So here we see Abram, he's knowing how to make right decisions. He's adjusting, but somehow we have Lot. He continues to not make the right decisions. And so, matter of fact, keeps making mistakes. So we deal with this element of both Abram and Lot and how they work in their lives. So let's pick up number 2, the predicament of Abram and Lot. Let's look at verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. It's interesting because in that it's not Abram and Lot that are feuding. These guys are relatives. But it's the hired help. It's the herdsmen. They're having a difficulty. And if you look here, the possessions, verse 6, for their possessions were so great. How many know you can actually get in arguments over stuff? Have you ever found that? Over the inheritance? Over moving the garage? You start throwing things out? And the family member says, what are you doing? I'm just getting rid of something. Wait, that's my stuff. You throw away your stuff, not my stuff. It's like, wait a minute. It's all our stuff. No, that's my stuff. You leave it alone. And you can see where it's like you got this tear going on. And that's kind of what's happening. Stuff was so great it couldn't contain them, and strife was between the herdsmen. So they made a decision. And so that was the predicament. They move on just a little bit. Let's look at number 3. How about their preference of Abram and Lot? When we move on in to verse 8, so Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Now, that's pretty cool. Remember, I mean, it's like take the high road versus the low road. May Abraham's very mature. He's very seasoned. He's actually telling his nephew, hey, it's your pick. Whatever you want, you go for it. Now, isn't that not, that's really kind of like the New Testament setting of Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, where it says, don't look out only for your own thing, but also for the things or the care of others. That's pretty profound when it comes along. So when we deal with that, that's what he's doing. So what does Lot choose? Let's go a little bit further. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered, everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Cana, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Well, let's take a look here, because Lot gets a chance to look, and there's something that's interesting, because we have this young man, Lot. I don't know if you ever just see a relative that's just kind of hanging on the believing relative. I mean, that can happen sometimes. Maybe you might have a friend or two, and after a while, you want people to be around. You want them to be influenced by you. But that relative is just clinging to you because they know, hey, you're a good person, you're trustworthy, but they don't ever want to change. They don't ever want to float around and say, man, I'll adopt the way you're adopting. We know that Scripture in the New Testament calls, it's Peter that calls Lot righteous. And that's found right there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. But it's a comparison with the wicked grouping going on in Sodom. So it really has, we have no account of Lot setting up an altar and praying. We have no account of Lot worshiping. There's no direction of Lot interacting with God at all. So again, when we recognize here in verse 1, Lot went with him. Also, it says too in verse 5, Lot also went with Abram. So again, he's tagging along. So we have a relative that's clinging to the Christian. Let's just put it that way. You might have some of those people in your life too. They like you. You do good. You're a nice person, but you can never kind of move them to activity for God. And Lot is going to really start to make some decisions. Eventually, there's a separation that has to come. There's a separation that has to happen. Because he can only saturate so much. And because of the tension, the predicament of stuff, hey, we can't hang out. We like each other. We're brethren. We have to go our separate ways. You pick Lot, and he does. How did he pick? Let's look for a moment. Verse 10, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw. So something with his eyes. Now, what explains that is so interesting in verse 10. He says, man, check out the plains. It's like where I came from. And then there's a reference there. It's like the well-watered area of Egypt. They just left Egypt. I don't know if you ever kind of look over things. We all have comparisons. We all have reference points in our lives. When you say, man, that's where I'm going to go because that reminds me of. I was raised in West Covina. There'll be times I'll tell Ainsley, it's like we'll be hiking, like, man, smell that sage. I remember just riding my little bike as a kid with my friends up to Covina Hills and just hiking around the sagebrush. Or just the balmy summer nights, like, oh, this reminds me of where I was raised. Or cruising through Long Beach, same old little three-bedroom, one-bath house. Love those homes. Like, that same kind of house. Now they're like mega mansion cost-wise, but the same. It's amazing. You have a reference point. You have those too. You come along and say, I'm familiar with that. I'm going that way. That's what Lot does. That's a well-watered place, man. That reminds me. Now, Egypt, remember, is a reference to just the elements of the world. So Lot is just thinking, it looks good. Looks good to my eyes. That's just like Eve. Remember how Eve came along? And she started analyzing and seeing things when she looked at that fruit. When she looked at the fruit, saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, desirable, able to make one wise, she took of it. Here we have Lot doing the same thing. And it's the same way that can happen to people if they're not careful, how that 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. So he picks and heads off in that direction. How about number 4, the provision of Abram and Lot? Let's see what happens here in verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? We take a look here. Lot chose for himself the plains. Abram said, hey, whatever direction you go. But it's amazing because they have two different directions, two different goals. It was a good move that Lot took off. That was good for Abram. It was not good for Lot. Story goes on with Lot that he had five steps. Just want to cite them for you. If you ever see that step laid out, the first step, remember, he saw. Something about that, if Lot is not viewed as a very spiritual person, matter of fact, we could probably say it's got to be a material dude. And he saw. Second thing is, if you were to take a look, he separated from the believer that influenced his life. That's not a good thing. We all need somebody. We all need somebody. Boy, with life groups going on, say, I don't need life group. Yes, you do. Why would we do it if you didn't need it? Why would we do it? If we're just wanting to add extra time on your hands. It's intentional. It's with purpose. Even our dear ones who are watching on live stream, you need to be in the environment where influential men and women could help play a significant role in your life. Lot separates. Third step that he made, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. If you look there in verse 12, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. What does that mean? I'm not going into that city. I have heard about that city, but I'll pitch it in such a way I can look and say, well, that looks pretty wild. I won't get in there. Pitched his tent. It's like, how close can you get without getting saturated? Man, the fourth is, he dwelt in Sodom, the fourth step. In chapter 14, verse 12, it says that. He literally pitched his tent into Sodom. So you can see the downward spiral. Still no interaction with God, no recognition of worship or an altar. And the fifth and final one is that he's found sitting in the gates in chapter 19, verse 1 of Genesis, which means now he's a politician. He's actually been invited to be a part of that. It's like, whoa, man, I got a title going on here. Some people like titles. You know, titles are great. They're just hard to take it away from somebody. Easy to give, hard to take away. But here's a man, and he does not influence the community that desperately needs a righteous person in a position to influence. Lot needed Abram. Lot needed Abram. The man that influenced. We need each other. We need each other. It's important. Person that says, I really don't need other righteous people, can be a challenge, very hurtful in the long run. It was for Lot, and he left Sodom and Gomorrah literally with just his two daughters, lost everything. Decisions, choices we make eventually make us. The choices you make today make us later. So it's important. On this day, we always are excited about Membership Sunday because we get a chance to say, man, I want to be a part of what God's doing in this group of Christians. So significant. God always will require at times separation where he says, come out of this so I can present and give you that. A very significant passage is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. I would write it down. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Be separate. God calls people out. When he told Abram, leave your father's house, those things that would influence you, those things that would pull you down, so that I can bring you into the furtherance and bless you. I'm going to bless you, Abe, so that you can be a blessing to others. Matter of fact, all the families in the earth will be blessed. For you, for me, that's the same thing that goes on today. Come on in. Be a part of things so that we can see what God's doing in our lives and be a blessing. That's why sometimes, I don't know, I remember hanging out with people that dragged me down when I had to make a decision to really turn my life completely over to the Lord, dragged me down spiritually, hindered my spiritual growth. I actually felt exhausted after being around them. It's like, wow, when I left their environment, I felt less inspired to be with God, felt a diminished time in prayer and in the Word. There were some hard decisions I had to make. There could be that time, even though they're in what would they would declare themselves as believers, as Christians, still very much engaged with an element that very worldly activity, worldly functions, and then at the end of the day, we'll just give a prayer just to sanctify everything we just did. So that's a beautiful thing about coming into fellowship. It's a beautiful thing about saying, I need this environment. It did not do Lot good to separate from the one that was influencing him. God is working in this church. We're so blessed, and we invite people to be a part of that. We recognize that people can be a part of any fellowship, and they should be a part of any fellowship. But today it's an opportunity to be a part of Hope Chapel. I'm thrilled to just lead for those of you who say, I'd like to join, be a member. This will be a tremendous gift for us. I take it personally a big responsibility to welcome those into membership as pastor. It means you come under my care and want to do you the best good I possibly can. This is that time being till the Lord calls you some other place. We don't own anybody. But while you're here, we want to do the best we can to be a blessing to you. Let the blessing of the Lord that rests on this fellowship be a part of your life as well. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.